for a day's work for dust
off. So how much were your crews, the medevacs, your crew trees, how much like that first the first mission you just described? Who got shot? Did anybody get shot?
No, not on that one, but they did get shot other times. So when on this day of the Medal of Honor mission, one of the missions was in a minefield. And we just happened to be coming by, and there was a dust-off aircraft from another unit in the minefield, and a mine went off, and he left. It killed some people around the aircraft. And so the people on the ground were still screaming for help, and I saw where he had his skids. And so I knew that if I hit that skid mark, there was a good chance that I wouldn't set off a mine. Now, the blades can still set off a mine, because when you pull in at the bottom, tremendous down pressure, and that could set off a mine. But we hit the spot, and this is where the crew came in. Nobody in a minefield will move. They're frozen. Everybody's dead or wounded. And I looked at my crew, and I said, go get them. They jumped out of that helicopter, and they ran through that minefield, and they started pulling these guys back into my bird. Everything's going good. I'm watching out the back door. I'm sitting in the right seat looking out that door. And something set off a mine. Either they stepped on a mine or it was command detonated. But it blew them all up in the air. They had a guy on a litter, and I was afraid they were going to hit the rotor blades. It just boom, they're up in the air. They land. The great medic that I had, Pappy Coleman, who's now in the Aviation Hall of Fame, just died a year ago, fell and his pants were on fire. He put out the fire, back into the minefield, loaded that bird. We had hundreds of holes in the aircraft from the mine. The lights were on. Wasn't sure if that thing was going to fly, but it did. We got it off the ground, and we went back low level in case something happened. We wouldn't have too far to fall. And got them into the hospital, and my crew lived, and they were not badly hurt. And everybody on the aircraft lived, too, except might have been a couple dead guys on there.
You know, given what you describe and what each of those experiences was each day, it's hard to imagine that when the bell rings tomorrow of what you all thought you were going into that day and how you kept doing it over and over.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about, fear is an emotion. It's an emotion. Courage is a decision. And so there's such a thing as a courageous act in the middle of fear, and there's such a thing as a courageous act, which is a result of a decision. And my guys had to make that decision every single day, even though the day before they may have been shot down, the day before one of their buddies may have been shot or hurt in some way. And, you can get a guy go once, he'll go once, and he'll have a bad experience, and then to get him to go again is a trick. But because of the mission and because it focused on saving lives, these kids were eager to go. They were ready to go. They would go in the hospital. We'd patch them up. They'd come back to the unit, and they'd go right back out and do it. Now, I should say that in that 40-man detachment, I personally flew over 2,500 combat missions in 2 years. These guys were flying, 1,000 hours a month while they were there. And there's no telling how many patients they treated with 21,000 patients. But they were ready to go every single day, up and eager to go out and save some lives that day. They were an extraordinary. I think you have different levels of halls of fame. You have a dust-off hall of fame. You have an Army Aviation Hall of Fame. Then you have the National Aviation Hall of Fame with the astronauts and guys like that. From that one unit, we had about six guys in the Dust-Off Hall of Fame. We had three guys in the Aviation Hall of Fame and one guy in the National Aviation Hall of Fame from one Dust-Off unit. And when you think about it, it's probably the most decorated 40-man detachment in the history of warfare. The Silver Stars, the Distinguished Flying Crosses, Distinguished Service Cross, Medals of Honor in that unit were extraordinary, and you can read about them in my book.
What was the attrition rate, both for, pilots, crew, and helicopters?
This is something that sometimes is hard to sort out, but there were one out of every three dust-off crewmen became a casualty. One out of three. And, you know, they talk about, take, for example, the aviation resource. There was no aviation resource more used. The Huey, that's the most combat-experienced aircraft in the history of warfare. In the history of warfare. No other World War II, Korea, any aircraft has as many combat hours and sorties as that bird right there. And it's hard to find them in museums, if you can believe that. All these fixed-wing weenies, they think the only thing that flies has got to have a starched wing, for God's sakes. That bird is number one. An average guy in World War II flew 25 missions. Each mission averaged about 4 hours. So what does that give him? It gives him about 100 combat hours, right? 100. We were playing, I hate to beat up on the Air Force. No, I really like to beat up on the Air Force. We're Mike Novosel, who many of you know, a Warrant Officer Medal of Honor recipient, and I were playing golf with some great Air Force ace. I won't say his name. But he was celebrated.
Oh, dude, who?
He was celebrated because he flew 100 combat missions. 100 combat missions. Mike and I were playing golf with this guy. Between us had 5,000 combat missions. Now, our missions, and you pilots there know, they didn't always last 4 hours. Most of mine were less than an hour mission, but you were still shot at on those missions. It was still a combat mission. So those Air Force weenies with their silk scarf and the face of God, give me a break. We were down there between his ankles in the mud, and the Army helicopter pilot can stand up to any pilot anywhere in the world and be head and shoulders above them, in my judgment.
You know, we've heard ever since Vietnam was over, we could have won it. We could have won it. How was this war prosecuted, by whom, and could we have won it?
Yeah, the GI never lost a battle. You all know that. We were never defeated in combat in Vietnam, never. Now, we had a bunch of cowardly politicians and demonstrators and people like that in this country turning the media, especially the media, God, what a mess they were. Sorry about that, David.
No, you got to be right on target.
But that, and we better watch out for that in this country, because we become risk averse. We have politicians in this country who don't have the guts to defend this country, and that's why I tell you, you guys got to get out and do something about that.
We've got a couple of minutes to do a little bit of Q&A. Connie's back. Connie, do we have any questions from the grandstands? Here's Connie with the microphone.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
General, in your book, you said you were disappointed in the way that the dust-off's being run now with the Blackhawks. Has anything changed on that since you wrote your book?
Yeah, the question is about dust-off today and the Blackhawk. The Huey was the best designed aircraft for what we did in terms of a flat, you had good visibility at night. The Blackhawk sits like this. We could be off the ground in 2 minutes. That sucker sometimes takes 15 or 20 minutes to get off the ground. I mean, what the hell are they doing? And then they have algorithms where my missions came from the guy with the patient. And I had a radio, a call sign and frequency, the guy with the patient. Now they go to brigade. And brigade does an algorithm on the weather, the risk. You can't measure risk. It's impossible to measure. And like somebody said, you know, we didn't go to in Benghazi because we didn't know what was going on. I would have never flown a mission if I had known what was going on. We never had full information. We wouldn't have gone into Normandy if we had to know everything that was going on. So it's insane. The bottom line is insane. But they still have come to this risk-averse kind of a situation when they're dealing with medevac and dust-off in Afghanistan and Iraq. It's not the same, and I'm very, very disappointed with what's going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Thank you very much, General Patrick Brady.